Our gospel reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and it reads, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, 'See, I am sending a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming the baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair and leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I come to you with a sermon that makes a bold proclamation. Time to get yourself ready. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time, and we pray now, Lord, a prayer of blessing upon this word, that it inspires our hearts and our minds and gives us the guidance, the direction, and the food for thought you desire us to have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On last Sunday, the first Sunday in the season of Advent, we heard a message telling us that we must stay alert, for the time is coming. And in that sermon, the message that was sent out loud and clear is that we sometimes find ourselves struggling with the things that have the ability to distract us from the things that God has desired us to do. And as we are waiting, these distractions can sometimes cause us to miss out on those things that we are waiting for. But it's with that in mind that we enter into this, the second day of Advent. And the question that we're going to wrestle with today is, what can I do to keep myself from missing out on all the things that God has promised me because of all of the distractions that come in and out of our lives? And in answer to this question, I invite you to come with me on a very quick journey through the entire Bible. How many of you think we can do it quickly? Since the beginning of creation of humans, when Adam and Eve fell into sin and fell away from God, God has been waiting for humanity to come to its senses and to begin the process of making right those things that would put us back in God's love, God's good graces, and in God's favor. Now, knowing that humanity doesn't move very quickly, God decided not to just sit around idly and waiting for us to do our thing. So God did a few things to kind of help to facilitate this process along. So he created prophets and priests and teachers and pastors to go out and to help us to find our way back through this journey, to help us back to where God wants us to be in his life and with us in his. But he didn't stop there. Realizing that most people will not always listen to their pastors and their priests and their preachers and their teachers, he decided to give us some boundaries. He gave us commandments. He gave us laws. He gave us rules. And all of these were to be the boundaries that we are to govern ourselves by, with the hopes that this will give us enough information to get back on track so that we can find our way to the place where God wanted us to be. Simple enough. And while God was waiting for the teachers to do their thing and the preachers to do their thing and the laws to do their thing and the commandments to work, God was still waiting, but he never wasted a moment's time. He decided that he needed to help us along our journey by clearing out a few things that would be stumbling blocks. Those things, we call them sin. And with that, he allowed his son Jesus to come to be that last sacrifice that would remove that last obstacle that would distract us, that would cause us to possibly go off course or to come up with reasons and excuses why we can't quite get to God just yet. So now, here we are. We have our teachers, we have our guides, we have our rules to live by, and we now have a clean, clear path ahead of us. Now, God is still waiting. But what makes this such an interesting challenge is that while God is waiting for us, there's still another level of waiting that's going on. For you see, as we are in this season of Advent, we are also waiting. We're waiting to see what God is going to do. And for those of us who have been a part of a church all our lives or for some portion of it, one of the things that we have heard is that someday, depending upon who you listen to, whether it's in the near future or the distant future, we're anticipating that there is going to be a season when Christ returns. And so we're waiting for that as well. But then the question then becomes, what do we do while we are waiting? For you see, again, on last Sunday, we talked about while we're waiting, things can come along and distract us. And when that time comes, we'll find ourselves distracted to the point where we miss out on this opportunity to see Christ. And so here we are. What do we do while we are waiting for this day to come, for when the Lord returns? Well, somewhere in that very brief summary of the whole Bible that I just gave you, where it started out with creation and I ended it with Christ's crucifixion. I know you all caught that, right? Somewhere in the midst of that, God sent us another guide, a messenger, one who would help us to find our way along this journey, one who would help us to spend our time constructively. This was the foretelling of the coming of John the Baptist, one who would come to deliver a message that would help us to focus and to do what we needed. And in that message, it was told that one would come and tell us to prepare the way for the Lord, to make straight the paths in the desert and on the highways, and for our God, and that every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain will be made low, and every hill and uneven ground will become level, and the rough places will be made plain. And then, when John the Baptist came, he then continued this by proclaiming that the one who is to come is more powerful than I. And I will not be worthy enough to stoop down and untie his sandals. And then he says, I've only come to baptize you with water, to make you aware of what you've done. But he will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and that will help you to move on the rest of your journey. All of this was given to us as a subtle reminder to not allow ourselves to get distracted. It came as a reminder, a tap on the shoulder, if you will, to help us to say, hey, it's time for us to get ready for what's to come. And so then the question that follows that is, how do we do that? How do we get ready for what's to come? Well, what I want everybody to do right now is take a deep breath. Hold it for a second. Now let it out. I always have to take a deep breath when I have to deal with something serious. We begin with a moment of soul searching, and then it's followed by a hard dose of reality. The soul searching begins with us asking this question. If God were to walk up to you right this very moment, what in your life would cause you to look at God and say, could you hold on for just a couple of minutes? I want to go with you, but I just need to take care of a couple of things that might mess up my opportunity to get into heaven. Don't answer this out loud. This is a rhetorical question. But how many of you would have to ask God to hold off for just a couple of minutes while I fix a couple of things real quick so I won't accidentally not get into heaven? Here's where it becomes even tougher. Because if we answer that question honestly, some of us may have to ask God for more than just a couple of minutes. And then comes the hard dose of reality. This is the question that some of us wrestle with. What do others see when they look at me? When I look in the mirror, I know what I see. I see the most wonderful creation that God has put on this planet. I see a person who's loving and caring, and I'm good to everybody, and everybody just loves me. This is what I see when I look in the mirror. And then there's reality. When I take that mirror away and others look at me, I wonder if they see the same thing. Beloved people of God, we have to wrestle with this question as well. What do others see when they look at us? Do they truly see somebody who represents an image of what God wants us to be as people of God? Or do they see something else? Do they see somebody else who may not be as loving or as kind or as forgiving or as accepting as we believe that we are in our hearts? Beloved people of God, this is where we have to answer those questions honestly. And believe it or not, I can't answer those questions for you, nor can Pastor Anna. The answers to both of those questions exist between you and God alone. If we can get a grip on these, if we can find a way to answer them honestly, you're one step closer to where God desires all of us to be. Because in that message that John the Baptist gave us, it is then when we face those realities within ourselves, accepting the fact that we're not as perfect as we'd like to believe we are, that's when we're really digging deep. This is when we're really dealing with those places that John described as being those desert places in our lives, or those valleys, or those mountains, or those hills, or those uneven and rough places. Those times that we find things in our lives that would somehow manage to stand as a barrier between us and God, or between us and where God desires for us to be. And so I challenge you on this, the second day of Advent, to take a serious look at who you are in the eyes of God and ask yourself, am I ready, or is there more that I have to do? And believe it or not, some of us may actually do that soul searching. Some of us may do that self-study. Some of us may actually be able to answer that question honestly and say, yes, I really am doing all the things that God wants me to do to the best of my ability. And if you find yourself in that place and you can honestly say yes to that, then my recommendation for you is to continue doing what you're doing. But know that your work is not done. Because God will also bring into your lives those of us who still need a little bit of help along the way. And then there's the other side. After we've done that time of soul searching, if we find that there are still some little things that we need to fix, or even some big things that need to be addressed, the wonderful blessing that we get to celebrate on this day is that we still have time. How much time? Only God knows. I always tell people in my own tongue-in-cheek sort of way is that you have a lifetime to get things right between you and God to ensure that you will have a place in heaven one day. Challenge is that nobody knows how long our lifespan will be. Some folks may live just to be a few years old and others may live to be 100 or so. But don't waste your time. Don't waste the time God has given you. Know that one day we will stand before God, and one day we will have to give an account of how we spent our time in waiting. And so then the question again will be, will you be ready when he comes? My hope and my prayer is that doing the best that we can do, that one day we will all be able to say, Lord, come what may, I'm ready. And so I leave you with that challenge as we continue through this time of Advent. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for this time of reflection and self-study. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us, give us the guidance that we need to find our way back to you. Lord, we know we're not perfect, but we try. And so, Lord, help us along the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.